Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Nav Effect Podcast. I'm your host, Naveen Anglani. Today, we have a special guest all the way from Miami joining us, Will Manso, one of the, shall we say, notable guys you've probably seen on TV if you watch Miami Heat basketball. So we can't wait to talk Miami Heat hoops with him. But first, a quick word from our sponsor, The Cleaning Coach.
When it comes to cleaning a home or office, most people just know the basics. Mopping the floor, wiping off dust and dirt is pretty standard. While all that can make a place look clean, it doesn't mean it is clean. Making a place truly clean and virus-free requires a professional help. That's where the Cleaning Coach comes in. The Cleaning Coach provides outstanding general cleaning, commercial cleaning, post-construction cleanup, upholstery cleaning, floor, carpet cleaning, aircon cleaning, and disinfection at a very reasonable price. The Cleaning Coach and his team will do all the scrubbing, dusting, polishing, disinfecting, and sanitizing, so you won't have to. Making your place look clean that you can also smell and feel. You will experience the difference. Now that's stress-free cleaning to a better normal, done professionally by the Cleaning Coach. Contact the Cleaning Coach today to learn more.
Okay, we're back. We're joined by Will Manso, one of the presenters of Miami Heat basketball for Bally Sports in Miami, Florida. He was kind enough to say yes to joining me for this podcast. You know, Will, it's so funny because I'm not sure when we followed each other, but I think we did that maybe sometime during the World Cup last year, which was held in Manila. And of course, Eric Spoelstra, the Filipino-American basketball head coach, was here. Got to cover him. So I believe we started talking with each other. And I didn't tell it to you then, but then I knew. I was like, okay, one day I'm going to invite Will to come on the podcast. And then lo and behold, I thought, what better time than now? The playoffs are approaching. The Heat might be turning the corner. I don't want to say it because I feel like every time I think they finally turned the corner, finally playing better as we're recording this, 42-33, they just beat the Knicks. This pod is probably going to come out after they, I was going to say after they beat the 76ers, but who the hell knows what's going to happen, right?
Who knows? Yeah, let's hope. Who knows? Let's hope. Let's hope.
Let's hope. But I thought a great time to talk about the team. Handful of games left before the postseason starts. So I guess I just want to begin by asking you, where are you with this team right now? Because I'm stuck in a bit of a tricky position with them, you know? Whether you want to talk about the long offensive droughts, whether you want to talk about how against other superior teams, they just don't have the size, or whether you want to talk about how their body of work since the regular season has started has been shadowed by inconsistency, whether that's play on the court or lineup changes, injuries, guys being in and out. And you can think of many other reasons, you know, like their franchise player, you know, maybe sometimes according to Josh Hart, busy doing side quests rather than focusing on the main quest.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
That was a great quote for sure. That's a great quote. I appreciate that from Josh Hart. I didn't appreciate the injury last playoffs. Now that I can't forget. But when you think about it, okay, so what's the argument for believing that this team can maybe go far again in the postseason, talking about the Heat? And it just goes back to, well, they've done it multiple times. 3 out of the 4 years, they've been together in the Jimmy and Bam era under Coach Po. They've made the Eastern Conference Finals, made the NBA Finals twice. The only time they didn't make the Eastern Conference Finals, 2021, was when they were coming off the shortest offseason in NBA history. Yeah. It was a COVID season. They had many injuries that season too. I can't even begin to go into that. The seedings didn't really work their way. So where are you with this team? Are you also of the standpoint that at this point, really, the main reason to believe that they can go back to the NBA Finals or go on another deep playoff run is because they've just done it already in the past, and a lot of the main core, well, the main core of Jimmy and Bam really are the only ones who've been there, the constants, together with Spo. But is this an, I guess what I really want to ask is this a situation where past results and past success dictate belief rather than their actual play?
I think it's both. You know, I think the reality is, look, you just laid out the timeline of what they've been able to do. And the reality is they've done that. You know, like that's not us. Sometimes you get in scenarios where you're trying to think of hypotheticals. Well, what if this guy's healthy and this happens and maybe they make a run? The last 4 years, they've done all those things. They've battled injuries. They've battled inconsistencies. They battled up and down. They've dealt with what Jimmy, you know, Jimmy's ramping up and his schedule up and down, trying to, you know, get his body right, his mind right for playoffs and for the grind that it takes for Jimmy in the postseason. And it's worked. I don't think anybody can argue against the fact it's worked. The only thing a detractor could say is, well, they haven't won a championship. Okay, that's fair. They haven't. That's really hard to do. A lot of teams don't. But in that four-year window, they've been to those Eastern Conference Finals three times. They've been to those NBA Finals twice, as you mentioned. So I think the body of work, and I think the second part is who you started talking about as far as having covered last summer, and that's Eric Spoelstra. Any Eric Spoelstra coach team, I asked Tom Thibodeau about it before the Knicks game, you know, about the respect they have for each other. And he said, anytime you face an Eric Spoelstra team, you know that it's going to get in a battle down to the hustle plays at the end, defense, they're going to make things tough on you. And they certainly did on the Knicks and Jalen Brunson. So I think those are the two reasons. The track record led by this core of Jimmy Butler, Bam, and hopefully Tyler Hero if he's healthy. And then the coaching of Eric Spoelstra. You know, Eric Spoelstra to me is the best coach in the NBA. I know Greg Popovich is the winningest and all the things that he has. But to me, the best coach in the NBA right now, the way that he manages players, personalities, personnel, can adapt on the fly and change his thinking depending on matchup and who's available, is Eric Spoelstra. And because of that, I give them as good a chance as anyone in the Eastern Conference.
Eric Spoelstra, 746 career wins as an NBA head coach since he took over the Miami Heat, which I believe was late 2008. That season where I guess you could say it was probably the last time they actually tanked for a high draft pick. Yeah. But considering the fact it's only been 16 years and he's up there with the greats already,
yeah,
there are NBA franchises that don't have as many wins as Eric Spoelstra over the last 15 years. So you're right. And, you know, I was listening to the podcast where Norris Cole guested on Udonis Haslem and Mike Miller's show. A great podcast, the OG's podcast.
Excellent
by the way.
Podcast. Yeah, excellent.
After a comment. And after this, I might go listen to the LeBron JJ Redick podcast too, which is excellent.
Which is also incredible. Incredible. Yeah.
Incredible for the growth of the game. Because LeBron talked a lot about those Heat days, right? And I'm feeling a little bit nostalgic for those days lately. But who isn't? Eric Spoelstra, proven winner. Jimmy Butler, proven winner. Bam Adebayo, I would also say proven winner at this point. Ever since he's become a full-time starter, Bam Adebayo has made the NBA Finals twice, become an All-Star three times, another ECF appearance. That's a resume that's growing into a possible Hall of Fame case down the line. And, you know, he keeps growing, getting better as a basketball player. I love that he's taking the three ball. I really, really do. It's just
a huge development. Yeah,
huge. Once a defense sags off, expecting the DHO with Duncan or Terry or any other shooters, and Bam sees that open space to let it fly. See what I did there, Mike Miller, Shane Battier. Oh, geez. And he makes it now. He's been making it consistently, and you can see the confidence building, and it's great because I think that's a weapon that he's going to make a three maybe at some point in a fourth quarter of a playoff game this year.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're going to be like, every one of us who have been waiting 5 years for this are going to be like, hallelujah. Attention all Ateneo supporters and fashion enthusiasts. Get ready to elevate your game day style with Get Loot's latest masterpiece, the all-new hoodies. These aren't just any ordinary hoodies. They're the best Get Loot has ever come out with. Crafted with precision and passion, each hoodie is a testament to their commitment to quality and style. And guess what? They come in three stunning colors: cream, royal blue, and navy blue. But wait, there's more. The new hoodie features textured and embroidered patches on premium peak fabric, ensuring a luxurious and comfortable feel like no other. It's the perfect blend of style and comfort, making it an absolute must-have for the remainder of UAAP Season 86. But here's the best part. You can own this game day essential for only 2,500 pesos each. That's right, premium quality at a great price. But remember, true fans always buy original. Avoid imitations and support the Ateneo varsity teams in style by purchasing from GetBlued's official stores. With GetBlued, you're not just buying a hoodie, you're investing in the pride and tradition of the blue and white. Don't miss out on the opportunity to stand out in the crowd and show your unwavering support for the Ateneo varsity teams. Get your hands on the new hoodies today and let your Blue Eagle pride soar to new heights. Visit GetBlued's official stores to secure your hoodies now. Hurry! Quantities are limited. Now, you mentioned Jimmy ramping up, which I think is the key here. Now, There are signs usually when you start seeing Jimmy ramp up. One, you see a lot of that meme posted on social media where it's a part of the calendar where it's Jim VP. Or two, you look at these Instagram stories. He's posting workout videos with Chris Brickley. He's a trainer who started working with him, if I'm not mistaken, for the 2022 season. And since Brickley's been working with Jimmy, he has just been exceptional in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you kind of just see a little demeanor. It hasn't been as consistent this year. I don't know why. In the game against the Knicks that we had just watched, it's not that Jimmy wasn't aggressive. I just felt like whenever you look at what the Knicks defense was doing, they had 10 eyes looking at Jimmy, waiting for him to attack the paint. And that's why he was reading the defense, seeing who was open. Terry had it going, making the right plays. But as someone who covers the Heat, as someone who sees this team often, someone who's seen Jimmy since he got to Miami, what are the little things people don't know about what Jimmy starts to do when, as you say, he starts ramping it up for the playoffs?
I mean, I think number one is you sort of touched on at the end there about, I think what people forget about Jimmy and ramping up, right, and Jimmy in certain big moments, especially in fourth quarters, is that the opposing team knows that too. So it's not like, you know, he didn't put up big numbers against the Knicks, but he made a lot of the right basketball plays. And I think sometimes people get – they get lost in the whole playoff Jimmy and ramping up Jimmy, that they expect Jimmy's just going to get the ball and score 40 and get a triple-double because he's done it in the finals, because he's done it in big moments, because he had that 40-something point performance in Boston, because he's done these things that we've seen over the course of the last five seasons. But what they don't understand is the opponent knows that. So they're going to throw all their bodies. They're going to throw all their efforts on making sure Jimmy doesn't do that. And there are going to be times, and I give credit to the Knicks. The Knicks are excellent at this, where they're going to just throw multiple looks and multiple bodies at Jimmy, and they're going to find a way to slow him down. And when I say slow him down, meaning he's not going to get 40 points. He's not going to get 36 points and 15 assists. But he's going to make the right basketball play, the extra pass, the drive, get to the free throw line, kick it out to Terry. Or he's going to defer to guys who are in position to make plays. In that game against the Knicks that we keep referencing, Terry Rozier was the star of the game with 34 points.
Oh, incredible.
Big moments in the fourth
quarter.
Yeah, he was – it was the ball was in his hands and he was decisive. But here's the difference. And I think this is what's the evolving of this Heat team, especially with the addition of Terry. And as you mentioned, the development of Bam. The last few years, I think if the ball wasn't in Jimmy's hands in the final moments, Heat fans would be panicked. Come on, man, get the ball to Jimmy. Jimmy has to have the ball. Jimmy has to have the ball. He's got to take the shot. I don't think you feel that way. I mean, Terry had a game-winning shot recently. Bam had a game-winning shot recently. I think when Tyler's healthy, you have confidence that he can take a big shot. Duncan, you're okay with taking big shots. And yes, Jimmy, you want. So I think to answer your question, Jimmy behind the scenes, we see it. We see it at the arena. You see it and others see it at social media. Jimmy understands his body better than probably any athlete out there outside of LeBron, because nobody knows their body better than LeBron. That's why he's 40 and still, you know, playing the way he's playing. But Jimmy understands what it takes for his body to get through that grind. And that almost superhuman thing that happens with Jimmy when the playoffs start is not a switch. It's a progressive build. And Jimmy's near the top of that build now as the Heat approach the final seven games and then the playoffs.
What are some of the things Jimmy does to take care of his body? Or what are some of the...
Oh, man. I mean,
you know, trends he changes. Yeah, go on.
Stretching, eating right, working on, you know, his core strength. Jimmy is, I mean, I say this with all due respect, he is chiseled, he's cut like I would say like a Greek god, except, you know, you look at Jimmy, it's not in the sense of like the big, you know, bulky cut guy. He is the lean fit, and all of that is Jimmy's work. And you mentioned his trainers and the people he works with, the Heat staff as well. Jimmy, again, he understands the stretching. I mean, hours of stretching in the course of a week. Of just, you would think that it's boring and monotonous. Hey, go take shots. You're an NBA player. No, he's making sure his legs, his muscles, his arms, his body is right. The stuff he does in recovery and, you know, making sure his body's rested and icing and heating and all those things. Again, people sometimes think of the old school that the player shows up, takes a few shots, goes home, eats a meal, comes back, plays the game, puts a couple ice packs on, comes back the next day, does it again. The science of the game, and I mentioned LeBron, nobody does it better than LeBron, but the science of the game and development and taking care of your body is at a level it's never been. And Jimmy's at the forefront of that. There's a reason he looks the way he looks. There's a reason he plays the way he plays down in, you know, 60, 70, 80 games into a season where he's kind of finding that path and he can go through an entire playoff push and look so fresh, so incredible is because the things he does throughout the course of the season and every single day, not just at the end, not just in the beginning, every single day to keep his body and his mind right.
So you're thinking that once the playoffs come around, or maybe in the play-in, if that's where the Heat has to end up earning their playoff spot, we're going to see the Jimmy closer to last season's playoffs rather than the Jimmy we've seen in the regular season as of late?
Yeah, I think so. Look, there's going to be a day where Jimmy's not going to be playoff Jimmy, and it's going to falter. The only time we've ever seen it, and you mentioned it, was the year after the pandemic or the year after the bubble, where they were just gassed. They had the short off season. They pushed and tried their way to get through the season, and then they got smoked in the first round. And I mean, I don't think that happens. I don't think that happens this year. Could they lose in the first round against a tough opponent? Look, Milwaukee, the Knicks, whoever they face in the first round, it's going to be tough. I mean, it's going to be a tough series. But I always put my – if I had to bet, I would say you put your money on Jimmy Butler in playoff Jimmy, right? That's the guy that you say, okay, that's the guy that has got the track record and has shown the ability to do it, probably more so than anyone in the NBA in the last 5 years in those moments. There's a reason it's called playoff Jimmy. There's a reason that he's got that term, because we've seen it. So why now, after what's been another inconsistent season with it for the Heat and injuries and the ups and downs, and we're used to it every year, are you going to say, well, maybe we're not going to get Jimmy? To me, as long as he's healthy, you're going to get Jimmy.
Are you ready to transform your home into a premium fitness haven? Look no further than FitSpire, your go-to destination for top-notch home gym equipment designed to take your fitness to unprecedented heights. Immerse yourself in a world of possibilities with their versatile range of premium gear, including yoga equipment for serene workouts, adjustable dumbbells and kettlebells for customized strength training, roller wheels and push-up bars to sculpt those abs and arms, jump ropes, foam rollers, and stability balls for an all-rounded workout experience, stylish and efficient cooling towels to keep you refreshed, and sport water bottles for staying hydrated in style. FitSpire's equipment is not only durable but also space-saving, allowing you to create your dream workout space without sacrificing aesthetics or functionality. Whether you're a fitness novice or a seasoned pro, their collection caters to all levels. And here's the real game changer. As a special treat for our podcast listeners, we're offering an exclusive 10% off on your purchase. Simply use the code word NAVSEFFECT10 upon checkout at www.sunbeamslifestyle.com. It's our way of saying thank you for choosing FitSpire. But that's not all. For an even more seamless experience, download the Sunbeams Lifestyle app, available on both iOS and Android platforms. Browse their collection, stay updated on fitness trends and exclusive deals. Transform your fitness routine from ordinary to extraordinary with FitSpire. Don't just dream about your fitness goals, achieve them in the comfort of your own home. Visit www.sunbeamslifestyle.com, use code NAVSEFFECT10, and let FitSpire be your fitness companion on this incredible journey. One more guy they might need is Tyler Herro, who's been out since the first game from the All-Star break in that contest against New Orleans, where the game was pretty much kind of decided in the final minutes, even after Jimmy was ejected. And Herro just planted his foot or knee the wrong way. I mean, the Heat injury report, sometimes you don't always get all the details, right? You know, at first, people seem to think it was an over hyperextended knee or something of that sort, right? And then later on, we find out he's getting shots for his foot, and that's really what's kind of holding him back. So, you know, being around the Heat, being at the game yesterday, what's the latest on Tyler and his recovery and when he might come back? Do we expect him to be back for the postseason? And more importantly, given the amount of time he's missed, given how the starting unit has looked as of late, with Duncan in there and Jovic, with Jimmy, Terry, and Bam. So, two questions. Will Tyler be back? And two, when he is back, does it make sense to bring him off the bench again?
I mean, number one, let's talk about his health. You mentioned the Heat are very careful with the way they discuss injuries, and that's just the way they've done things forever. We see what we see. You know, we're not there in the training sessions and what they're getting behind the scenes. What we see is Tyler working behind the scenes. He was at practice the other day. He's obviously at games on the practice court. He's working. He's putting in the training. He's getting the therapy. He's doing everything in his power with the Heat with a plan to be back very soon. Is that very soon the playoffs? Is that very soon before the end of the regular season? I think the Heat still have hope that that's the case. I don't think that that's been discarded. I don't think it's been, well, nah, this is kind of taking longer than we expected. I think the plan is for Tyler to be back before the end of the regular season, which, as you and I speak, is only 7 games. So it's in the next week and a half, 2 weeks. And I think part two of that, I still think Tyler's going to start. I do. I think the only way that wouldn't be the case is if he comes back and the conditioning isn't there and Spo and Tyler and the staff have a conversation where they say, look, Tyler, if you were 100% and you were in rhythm and you were in that, you know, you had come back a few weeks earlier, we'd throw you right in. But right now, let's ease you in. Is that possible? I guess it's possible. But to me, if Tyler Hero is cleared, is 100% and ready to play, he will be in the starting lineup. Because as Spo, what did Spo say the other day about his rotation? My rotation is whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. And that means that Tyler's going to come in, and it means Duncan to the bench, and Duncan's going to have to get used to coming off the bench again and in the closing moments. And look, I tell people this all the time, and it's hard to really put into words because people get so caught up in the starting lineup. The starting lineup could last 1 minute. The starting lineup could last 2 minutes.
And what Spo matters has, Spo has always said the closing lineup is more important, right?
Yes. Yes. So to me, it's how many minutes is a guy playing and who's closing? Perfect example, the Knicks game. Hayward Highsmith has been a starter for the Heat. He has started for the Heat in the last couple seasons. And there was a stretch where it looked like he would be one of the key starters, right, because of his defense. Well, guess what? He didn't close a lot of games. Well, what happened against the Knicks? Hayward Highsmith closed.
He was the best defender of the team last night.
Unbelievable. So that's why I tell people, like, don't get caught up in starters, because starters can change. And, oh, by the way, starters can change from game to game. Mm-hmm. If they open up the series, let's say they play the Bucks in the first round, the Knicks in the first round, he throws in Tyler, he doesn't like the way things look. I mean, game two, he'll move back to the other one. We've seen Spo, like Nico, people ask me all the time, is Nico going to start in the playoffs? And I tell you, I don't know. I could see Spo going to Kevin Love in the playoffs and saying, hey, I want the veteran to start. And Nico, maybe they shift his minutes around a different way. Or maybe he says, Nico, you've earned this. You've done well. We like the way this team is playing with you. I wouldn't put anything past Spo, because in the end, he is cooking up his ideas with his players and his rotations and in matchups. And I think Heat fans should just trust that Spo is going to figure out the best way to use whoever's available. Hopefully it's everyone come playoff time.
What's it like to watch Spo's process every day? Because we know how much of a great head coach he is. We know he started in the film room. So his base really comes down to breaking down the actions on the court and finding those little nuances where he could apply it to their system, to their game plan, and get the most out of his players. I loved how LeBron was so complimentary of Spo in the recent podcast with JJ Redick, because, I mean, look, I don't want to make this a LeBron-Spo conversation, but I've always believed, had LeBron stayed with Spo for majority of his career, like Jordan and Kobe had with Phil, LeBron would probably have 6 rings by now, if not more. That's just how I feel about it.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So what is it about that everyday process? Can you share a story about Spoelstra that kind of encapsulates what makes the guy a genius?
I mean, Spo is Spo's maniacal. Spo is, I tell people this all the time, you know, Spo is in this zone of world that if you didn't know he was a head coach, you'd actually, I think part of you, when you'd see him, would think that maybe he's a little like aloof almost, because his mind is always on something. His mind is always on, you know, and the times that get me are like, you know, we're not in practice much. We get the tail end of practice. And at that point, Spo's coming over to talk to the media. Pre-game, you really don't see Spo a lot. He comes out with, you know, in the beginning of the introductions, he's in the back rooms working with players, working with staff, creating game plans, looking over last things. But there are times where shoot around, right? They'll do a shoot around on the court sometimes, and they'll bring out the whiteboard. And I love watching this because I'm getting ready to do a live shot or something. And I look to my right, and there's Spo. And Spo's standing there almost like a scientist or a school teacher or someone creating something. He's looking at a painter on a canvas, right? And he's looking at a whiteboard. And I'll look over and I'll see Spo, and he has no idea I'm looking at him because he's in such a zone. And he's got the pen or the marker, and he's going like this. And you see his mind working. And then he's writing an X and a moving. And then he erases something. He puts something over. And then he does it. And he'll be there for 5 minutes. And he's like in another world. And you'll see that he has no idea. And I'm just staring at it because I'm getting ready for my report. I'm looking at him going like, what is going through his mind? Like, what is the process. And he might be working at an out of timeout play. He might be figuring out zone here. Do we go man here? He might be talking about a specific player, but he's prepping things in his mind. It's all in real time so that when shoot around starts, he can go with the final details. So I guess the story of Spo is I've never met a human being who gets every detail and is so detail-oriented. Nothing slips by him. He's not a perfect coach because no one's perfect. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to make bad decisions. I mean, who doesn't? But he's not going to get caught making that bad decision going, what just happened? I didn't think about that. No, he sees everything. Sometimes he doesn't make the right decision, but his preparation is unlike anything I've ever seen. And when people talk about Heat culture and the cliche and the players, they'll all tell you the same thing. It starts with him. If you can be anything like Spo in anything in life, you're going to succeed. I'll give you another story. Spo every year gives the staff, media as well, like the broadcast team and people within the organization, a motivational book. And I've got a stack over there on my bookshelf of books of Spo's, and they're books that he reads that he thinks are good messages. Think about that. He gives the people around the Heat building and the staff, not players. I'm not going to make a difference in a win or a loss, right? But motivational tactics and books on how to make yourself the best person you can be and kind of hacks at life and things you could learn to improve as a person. I'm a broadcaster. That guy over there runs security. That guy over there is the catering. But who cares? Spo wants people. That's how detail-oriented it is. So you can imagine what it's like for the players.
Incredible, just absolutely incredible. Thank you for sharing that. And I don't think that people also realize Spo is kind of a big dude, like physically, like he is tall. Despite his age, he's well built. Like you never really saw it when he would wear the suit coats back in the day. But since the NBA coaches have changed their fashion, yeah, I guess, so to say, to something a little more chill, casual, laid back. Yeah. This guy actually looks like he can play with these players, right?
Well, he did back in the day. He would work with Dwayne on the court all the time. I mean, they would be, you know, pushing when obviously Spo was a lot younger, but Spo was in his, you know, early to mid 50s. He's in great shape and he takes care of himself. The funny thing about Spo, I got a funny story for you. When the Heat were in China, he went to China for the China games, and that was the big three era. I went, and back then, Spo and I are similar builds. I'm 6'2", like, you know, almost 200 pounds. Spo's a similar build. Spo's a little leaner than I am, but back then, you know, I had the black, not so gray. And it was funny because I had a suit on, and Spo back then wore a suit. So with the black hair and stuff, people would constantly be screaming Spo, and they turn around and be like, "Oh, that's not Spo," because they saw the black hair and a guy in a suit walking through the tunnel, and they thought, and we have about the same frame. But yeah, Spo keeps himself in shape, and he's got kid's energy. I mean, that's the way to describe it too. Like he doesn't stop, man. He does not stop, and I respect the heck out of him because of that. Because he could have, right? All the success he's had, the championship rings, the money, the fame, he could sit there and kind of, you know, doesn't have to push every button and do everything, but that's just not his DNA. You know, that's what Pat saw early on. Like, this is the guy that I know could be as crazy as I am. And that's the only way that you could succeed long-term in the NBA.
Exactly. Crazy loves crazy. And that book tactic, guess who did that back in the day too? Patrick Riley. He used to give books to his players. But it was a nice detail that Spo does the same for the broadcasters, the security, the cafeteria, like you said. It just adds another layer of complexity to his personality. You know, a lot of people talk about Playoff Jimmy, and rightfully so. Playoff Jimmy is, you know, an enigma of its own. And players will ultimately win and lose you the games because they're there in the court. But people don't realize what Playoff Spo brings to the table because... Mm-hmm. Let's not forget, this guy was coaching in the playoffs his first full season as the head coach of the Heat back in 2009. And 2 years later, he's handling the big three. He's playing in, or rather, he's coaching 4 straight NBA finals. He has a few more Eastern Conference finals appearances there, a few more NBA finals appearances too. So come playoffs, when you have to beat the team 4 out of 7 times and you have to game plan for every single thing the opponent might do or what the opponent might want to throw at you, and you think of every counter and you think of every mix-up that you could just add into the equation to muck the game up, which... we know it works to the Heat's favor. Once the game mucks up, gets a little ugly, you know, find the beauty in the chaos. That's really been their basketball style. You know, just a quick story on that. You know, my wife, who I married a few years ago, and obviously She used to be a Warriors fan because she lives in San Francisco. So when they got married, you know, naturally and justifiably, I told her you have to be a Heat fan. That's just not
you
a question now anymore.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
But which worked out to her favor. She loves the Heat now almost as much as I do. And, you know, she said something so interesting to me recently. She's like, the Heat just thrives in chaos. They find order in the disorganization and they just thrive in the chaos. And I feel like that so much is post DNA. Looking at the film, looking at endless amounts of basketball plays and actions and finding what works and putting what, and not just finding one thing that works, finding one little detail here, one little detail there, mm-hmm. one little detail there, and then putting it all together to find one system or method that works for each game, if not each game, each half, if not each half, each quarter, it might even be for each minute. Do you feel like we're about to see an even bigger Spo masterclass this postseason?
I think so. I think, again, it goes back to almost what you talked about, Jimmy, where, you know, do we expect Jimmy to be what Jimmy we've seen? Spo has an even longer track record. Like, anybody will tell you that Spo, the Heat aren't going to win every series they ever play in. They obviously haven't. I mean, you're going to lose series. You're going to lose games within a series. But I think Spo, again, will have the best plan ready, personnel-wise, rotation-wise, idea-wise with the schemes. What happens in those games? Obviously, that's once, you know, the ball goes up, things happen, play you can't, like last year in the finals, you know, Spo's trying to put together a plan for that. And Nikola Jokic and those guys in the Nuggets are just unbelievable. I mean, there's sometimes just the other team is better and you try to cook up something and it doesn't work. There's just no answer for it. But I think when it comes to Spo, there is a next step. There is a playoff Spo, I guess you could say, because there is that preparation then shortens. It's not, you know, Spo takes it game by game, right? The preparation of like the next matchup, the Sixers, then it's about the Rockets, then it's about the Pacers. In the playoffs, you're playing one team. It's about that one team. So in a shortened window, you have Eric Spoelstra saying, how do I slow down the other team's best player? How do I unlock my team's best player? How do I give my team a best chance to win against that roster and that team? And that is a different level of coaching that, again, few in the NBA, few ever. Eric Spoelstra, one of the best to ever do it, can do it like Spo. So, yeah, I think there is that. You know, I think that's a part of the equation for sure.
Fantastic. And I think we're going to see if the Heat go far again this postseason. A lot of it is going to be because of how Spo just confuses opposing coaches, opposing players. And I feel we're also at the point now where, and this happens with veteran players, right? You see it with LeBron even till now as he hits 40. It's ridiculous what he's doing. You see it with Steph. You see it with Jimmy to some degree. The older guys, once the mental development catches up there with the physical, they're at the same level. There's just a certain amount of execution there. And we've been here enough times, level of experience, that they will figure it out. And when you think about the coaching battles, really, in the Eastern Conference, which coach could match Spo in terms of playoff experience, being there in the dogfight late in the fourth quarter, making moves? Look, you probably know this too. A lot of coaches, they're probably there in the middle of the fourth quarter. They're thinking, but should I make this major change right now? Should I make the substitution right now? Should I change matchups defensively? Should I change the offensive game plan? Maybe run it through another player? Okay, but what happens? We've been running it a certain way. I mean, this are growing pains coaches go through. We know because we saw Spo go through it in the early days of the Big Three. And I feel like Spo at this point, at least compared to his contemporaries, might have a little bit more experience and confidence in making those decisions. Yeah. Like in the East, is it only Doc Rivers who could probably say that?
I mean, you know, he could match Spo?
Yeah.
I don't think Doc Rivers can match Spo. I mean, that's just me. I think Doc Rivers is a very good coach. I mean, but I think, you know, especially with that team taking over midseason, all the stuff going on there,
oh, for
I'm
sure,
taking my chances with Spo 10 out of 10 times. And then Joe Mazzulla's got an incredible roster. Obviously, he's got the inexperience we saw last year in those matchups. Doesn't mean the Celtics couldn't beat the Heat. They've got an incredible roster, and if they do the right things, of course they can. Same with the Bucks, by the way. I think Tom Thibodeau is probably the answer in the sense of maybe he doesn't have the success playoff-wise and stuff, but he's a really good coach. I like Tom Thibodeau, and I think he knows he has an understanding of his roster probably better than anyone in that conference outside of Spo because he's been around them for a few years now. He understands the personnel. He's helped and seen the development of Jalen Brunson. the guys that they've added, if they're healthy, especially OG Anunoby, the defensive schemes that Thibodeau likes to run, those would be in the muck, in the mud type of games. Those would be frustrating, tough games to watch. So I think he's the guy probably I would point to and say, okay, I think he could devise a plan to try to stop and slow down Jimmy and let other guys beat you and see how it goes.
Absolutely. You know, Nick Nurse, I would probably add to that list to some degree. I think Nick Nurse is a good head coach. Tibbs,
yeah, he's very
defensively,
good.
Yes. He might need a better understanding of when to rest these players sometimes. I just have to say
come
that.
Come playoff time. Yeah, that's more of a long season thing. No playoff time. It's all hands on deck. You got to play as many games as possible. And then look, Nick Nurse winning a championship. Obviously, he's on a new roster. He's got a new roster. What's going on with Embiid, Maxey, Harris, those guys? I mean, I just think personnel and coach match-wise, outside of Spo, I think Tibbs is probably the answer. But again, sometimes that doesn't matter. Coaching is very important. We obviously see that with Spo, but sometimes you just have a better roster. You're a great team.
That's true.
Love Malone in Denver. He out West, he's a guy that I look at and he gives me Spo vibes. Like, he's the kind of guy that just really – he gets how to adapt. He understands how to do things.
The coaching style, yeah.
The coaching style. Oh, no, not – yeah.
Yeah.
I like
not
that,
the public comments.
Oh, no, not that. No, I mean, Spo's unlike anybody. Spo doesn't – yes. But when it comes to the public and stuff. But just the style like that, he's a guy that I trust that I think can get the most out of his roster and understands his roster as good as anybody.
All right, final two questions for Will. And again, I'm so thankful that you have joined me here for this podcast. It is a privilege to have you. Terry Rozier seems to be finding a comfort level with this Heat team. Just right in the nick of time, as the playoffs are approaching, as the status of Hero remains unclear, as it's clear that this team still goes through some crazy offensive droughts. There's a comfort level there for Rozier. He's being more aggressive, looking for his shot. Firing it up from downtown. Spo mentioned this after the Cleveland game where they were making an effort to get Rozier to attempt more threes rather than some of those long twos he was taking a lot of when he first got to Miami. And you're seeing it with his shot chart, shot diet. It's changing up more long-range attempts, which is good because the Heat need those three-pointers, especially because Jimmy and Bam operate in that mid-range area, which they're so good at already. But off the court, in terms of being in the locker room, how he connects with teammates, how he converses with teammates, with the coaching staff, with, you know, you guys in the media, with the training staff, with the fans. Off the court, how is Terry getting comfortable in Miami? What are the signs that kind of show, okay, he's starting to really settle in this place?
I mean, I love Terry. I've been so impressed since he got here. What I loved about him when he arrived is that he came in, as you would expect, even as a veteran, a little hesitant as far as trying to do too much because he doesn't want to step on any toes. I think he really is a professional. The Heat were just every day from a basketball perspective, Terry, be yourself, be you. Don't try to fit in and try to be like, oh, you know, I can change. But no, be you. Attack, finish, drive, step back. Take the little things you mentioned about the shot chart and, you know, where to take shots. Yeah, the one catch shoot, you know, not doesn't have to dribble as much. And Terry talked about it after the game, you know. In Charlotte, he had the ball in his hands, and he kind of had to always create. Now there's a little bit more, hey, be that, you know, catch-and-shoot guy. It's okay. And also create. Be you. So I think initially it took a little while, no matter how much the Heat told him. I think the funny thing is now is players and Spo, like around the locker, around the, you know, they're like, man, it's about time. It's Terry, you're being you. You know, this is the Terry we traded for, the Terry we know you are. And I think Terry, to his credit, man, he's such a humble guy. He's been great around the locker room. He's been great with the players. You mentioned the fans, the media. He's just a really likable guy. And let's not forget that Terry was a Heat fan. You know, Terry grew up a Wade fan. Terry loved the culture. When he got here, he was talking about Heat culture as if he'd been in Heat culture, you know, and he really buys into it. And we talk about it all the time. And I know you understand what Heat culture is. There are people that roll their eyes at it. There are even players that roll their eyes at it. But if you embrace it and you accept it, and you appreciate it, man, it can help you. And Terry realized that from day one. And now that he has finally let loose and is being scary Terry, you are seeing it on the court. 34 points against the Knicks, a game-winning shot the other night, the aggression. He's shooting like 60% from three or something the last three games, averaging 28 points a game. I mean, this is Terry Rozier at his finest. And this is the Terry Rozier that he need. He's been a perfect, perfect fit since arriving on and off the court.
Was it concerning to some degree at first when the trade was made that part of the package you were giving up to get Terry was Kyle Lowry, who, in addition to, let's be real, he was helpful in those last two playoff runs. For all these limitations, there were areas where he really contributed as well. I thought that next series, last postseason, he was instrumental. But in addition to that, too, we know his relationship with Jimmy, how tight those two are. They would go together on the road a lot of times. They would spend a lot of time with each other in the locker room, too, and just being buddies, because they were buddies way before they got to Miami, right? So was there concern at first that maybe the departure of Kyle, given his relationship to Jimmy, would have probably impacted the chemistry that Jimmy could potentially build with Terry? Although at this point, you know, now that we're looking at it, those two seem to get along well. But at first, were there concerns?
I don't know if the word is concerned. I think, like anything, I think a guy gets traded that's a popular guy. Look, I'll say this clearly, because I know Heat fans love to pick on Kyle, and he wasn't worth it. He didn't come out to be the player he was. Yeah, he wasn't the Kyle Lowry from Toronto and from his early days. I don't think you should have expected that. I thought he was good in some important stretches, as you referenced, and I thought that he struggled in some stretches. And I thought that this year in particular, he wasn't fitting into what they needed, and that's why they made the deal. That's just the way things work out. But I will tell you this, while fans may have been like, yeah, hallelujah, Kyle's gone, we don't have to deal with this anymore, the locker room wasn't that way. Those guys like Kyle. Those guys love Kyle. Those guys appreciated the advice Kyle gave them as a veteran. They appreciated his championship pedigree. They appreciated his ability and his smarts on the court, you know, taking charges, making the outlet passes, making the smart basketball plays. Yes, maybe the basketball physical part of Kyle Lowry had diminished, but the mental part of Kyle Lowry, the leadership part of Kyle Lowry hadn't. I think players appreciated that. So you make a deal like that, I think players understand, hey, we need a pick-me-up. We need a different vibe. But it takes time. To Terry's credit, again, he came in. He didn't try to come in and be Kyle Lowry. He didn't try to come in and say, like, I'm a veteran of the league. You know, you can listen to me too, do what I say. No, he came in. He started to learn the personalities of this team. And like any team, they have different personalities. And he's fit in. So could it have backfired? Absolutely. Any trade, especially for when you trade away a veteran, a popular guy, could backfire. But it didn't for two reasons. Number one is Terry embraced his role and his understanding with the team and getting to know everybody. And number two is he's been damn good on the court. And that clears off any potential issues when you put up the numbers, the points, the production that he has of late.
Absolutely. Terry has been incredible. And it won't surprise me if we see Terry run a lot of late game offense come to playoffs, which,
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
In theory, you're like, you want the ball in playoff Jimmy's hands, but also it could be good. It could give Butler those relief moments that he has needed.
And he needs them.
Yeah, he needs them. He needs them. Before I get to my last question, just quick thought. Should we be concerned about Hawkes and his play lately? Because it doesn't only seem like his numbers are going down. It kind of feels like the confidence just isn't there the way it was even a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think you should. I think you should be concerned. And it's not because of anything Jaime's done wrong or because of Jaime, the person or the player. I just think, man, the NBA season is a grind. It's a long grind. There's going to have to be a wall that Jaime pushes through in this final stretch because he's going to keep playing. He's a part of this rotation. He's important. Are we going to see that Jaime from early season unlocked, you know, after the injury and the long NBA season and him coming back? He hasn't been the same. They need to unlock, though, something in the middle. You may not get that Jaime. We've seen parts of it, like, you know, he had a big play and a drive down the court, got fouled, and, you know, hit a shot yesterday against the Knicks that I thought was going to give him that confidence. I do think there's a mental hurdle and a physical hurdle that every rookie has to deal with. The only difference is when you're a rookie in Charlotte, when you're a rookie in Portland, when you're a rookie in name whatever team isn't making the playoffs and struggling, you can go through the wall without the consequence of really impacting your team. With Jaime, everything he does is under a microscope because it's under the realm of, hey, this is a playoff type game. You're trying to make a finals run again. You've got veterans that are trying to, you know, win a championship. It probably is a lot on him, but I will say this. He's a good, strong, smart kid. I think this will be a great experience for him. I do, and I hope that he gets through that now. But if anything, whatever Jaime and whatever happens in these playoffs, this will be an experience that he will use moving forward in the future as part of his growth as an NBA player.
Absolutely. And I still think he will have one of those careers that span, you know, health permitting, that spans over maybe 10 to 11 years. If
he's fortunate. I'll say this right now. I mean, he's a big part of the Heat future. That's all I'll say. He is a big part of the Heat future.
Absolutely. Whether you're looking at the marketing stuff online or just the way they trust him with the rotation and the way he just carries himself, he's such a Miami Heat player.
He's impressive.
Incredible. Jimmy Jr. I mean, even Jimmy didn't bust out of the gates right away, right? It took Jimmy some time too. So, Jaime, you just chill. I mean, you're playing for a playoff team. That's the thing. But I think there will be a game or two where Jaquez maybe has one of those games like he would in December and January. Yeah. And
they're going to need him. They are going to need him. Not going to be, this isn't an and maybe. They're going to need him.
They're going to need him, absolutely. Although it does seem good that Haywood and his three ball have been on point as of late, 16 out of 23 from downtown.
I mean, he's been Steph Curry the last 2 weeks. Yeah, he's been unbelievable.
I know. The two greatest shooters in the world as of late have been Caitlin Clark and Haywood Highsmith. I mean, shout out to the two of them. No, so my last question, well, this is something a little more personal. It's just, how do you go about, you know, your business, just covering this team daily, being at the arena? You know, let's say you're doing a halftime show for Bally or you're doing courtside duties. Like, at what time are you at the arena? Do you make an effort to build relationships with the coaches and players? I know you have to. As someone who's a journalist in my country as well, I know that it's a very important part of the job. But how do you do that? Because I imagine NBA players to be a little more private given their status, given the financial benefits that they've earned the last few years with their hard work and those who have come before them. But how do you build that rapport, that chemistry, and what's your system when you go about your reporting duties?
You know, everybody's different. There are some people that are very forward, and it's not a bad way, that are very like involved and love to be around the players. And I am not that way, but it's not for any reason other than what you just said. You know, for those that don't know, I cover the Heat, obviously, during the season. But at my day job, so to speak, is I work as a reporter for the ABC affiliate in Miami. So I cover all sports. I've been doing that for 27 years. I've been at that station for 25 years with the Heat 11. So in all that time, my formula is the same. I give the players the respect as a player that I am in their realm. I am in their office. I am in their world. And I don't need to be a part of that world, a centerpiece of that world, meaning I don't have to be in every conversation. I don't have to be in the middle of everything. So the way I try to build rapport with players is, number one, knowing that, hey, I'm going to be fair with you. So when they arrive, introduce myself, get to know them. And then as you ask them questions, they see where you're going with questions. You're not a person that's always talking negativity. Like, I don't like to, everything's negative. Everything's negative. It's more like, okay, things are bad. How do things get better? How do you fix things? I think over time, players appreciate that. I think over time, they appreciate that, after a game, like, I'll see H and say, hey, H, you're talking today. He's like, are you going to take a shower first? He's like, yeah, I'm going to go shower first and come back. You're not sticking a mic in their face saying, hey, you're trying to be on top of things. You build a barrier, so to speak, but at the same time, an open arm, right? Like a hand, like, hey, when you allow me into your world to cover, I will be there. I'm not going to force myself there. And I think players over time appreciate that. They know, hey, that Will guy, he's a good guy. Like, he's going to ask me the questions. He's going to deal with it. He's going to do his job, but he's not going to be on top of me. Now, when there's moments of like, hey, we see each other, like, hey, how are your kids doing? How's your family? How's your mom? Like, I love Bam's mom. She's such a sweetheart. I've gotten to know over the years. So you'll have those conversations. But again, I think there always has to be a line, knowing that you're in their world and they are, and it's a very pressured world where everything is under a microscope and every move they make could cost millions of dollars in careers. So I try not to step on toes and be in the middle of it. I try to just kind of be a liaison, a facilitator in the middle of it to bring those stories to Heat fans and sports fans that watch us on air.
Incredible. Absolutely fantastic. And you are doing a great job, Will. You have been one of the nicest guys I've interacted with online. Hopefully one day in person when I finally get to watch a game in Miami, hopefully.
Come on, man. Get here. It's about time. You need to get over here already.
I know. It's overdue, and definitely looking forward to it. I will let you know for sure. And again, just thank you for joining me. I know this went longer than what I told you it would, but the conversations were great. Thank you for the insight. Thank you for the input. Continue doing a great job. Why don't you tell the listeners where they can follow your work?
You can follow me for those on X, I guess, formerly known as Twitter, right? You can just follow me at Will Manso, my name, WILLMANSO. And again, I work at the ABC Miami. So for those of you that are in South Florida, you can see there in Bally Sports. doing Heat games here, you know, every season, this exciting push begins. So I look forward to more online conversations. We'll be chatting for sure during this playoff run.
Absolutely. You want to make a prediction before we go? How far the Heat goes?
No, I don't. I don't, only because I have no clue. Like, I will say this. I think the Heat win at least a series. How about that? I do think the Heat will win a series.
That's good.
I do. I don't think they're a one. I don't think they're a one and done team. I think there's a run left in this team. How far though will be based on health and see what happens. But I do think this team has something left in them.
Okay, let me change that a bit then. What if someone went back to you, your version in 2019, just as Jimmy Butler, you know, technically was traded, but really he signed with the Heat, right? Because he wanted to be in Miami. What if someone told you in 2019 that in the next 4 years, after Jimmy comes to Miami, they would make two NBA finals, get within one shot of making a third NBA finals, go to the playoffs another time, two more times at the least when we include this season. I'm guessing you and many other Heat fans would have taken that in a heartbeat right away.
100%. I would have said, and that's why no matter what happens, the Jimmy era has been a success. Everything can't be just, okay, they won a championship or not. And look, I still have hope they can win a championship. But it's hard, man. It's hard to win a championship. And when you look and you stack up the track record of the last five seasons now with Jimmy and what this team has been able to accomplish, while they haven't reached the ultimate goal, and that really is obviously what you want, the championship, it's been a success to me. I mean, it's been a great, some great moments for Heat fans, some frustrating ones too, some up and down moments. And trust me, I'm no different. I may cover the team, but I'm a fan. Like, I'm ripping the hairs out of my head and I'm getting frustrated as to why they can't finish games in the fourth and why the third quarter slowdowns and all the things that happen. But in the end, the big picture, it's been fun. It's been fun, and hopefully there's a lot more fun to come. It's not over yet.
Absolutely. Well, man, so everybody, thank you so much, Will. Appreciate it. God bless.
My pleasure.